The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
One day, applause and shouts were heard in the church without anyone being visible. When Padre Pio was asked about this, he said, "I have been praying for many soldiers killed in the war, and a group of them has come to thank me for my prayer since they were on their way from purgatory to heaven."
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, let's continue to talk a little bit about the souls. I think it's such a great day to do that, to remember them. I think, you know, one of the great saints who had these encounters was none other than Padre Pio. Yeah, he was this great stigmatic, the priest who bore the wounds of Christ. In fact, he was the first priest ever to bear these wounds. St. Francis of Assisi was the first to get the stigmata. But Francis had all sorts of encounters of purgatorial souls coming, seeking his intercession, his prayers. He had encounters within the very place he lived. He had soldiers that knocked on his door. So many incredible experiences. And today I just want to again invite you and remind you to pray, all right? To pray for those who've gone before us. I think God in his mercy allows these type of encounters. He allows saints like St. Faustina, which I just shared about, and especially Padre Pio, who had a special relationship with the souls. I think God allows these encounters so that you and I can believe, so that we can be aware, so that we can remember those who have gone before us. Because, I'll be honest, like you, I forget. This time of year, I'm all into the souls, but, ask me about it in June or July, right? We need to be consistent in our prayers for those who have gone before us. So I've invited today the executive director of the National Center for Padre Pio in Bartow, Pennsylvania, Nick Jaboni, to join us. Please check these guys out. This is a wonderful, wonderful organization. It's PadrePio.org, PadrePio.org. And I know we are now in some new cities around the nation. And this might be the first time you've ever heard of Padre Pio. You may have never heard of Relevant Radio. So I want to welcome you. I'm delighted to have you here with us. And Nick, thank you for joining us. Maybe for those who don't know who Pio is, you can give us kind of a primer on him. And let's talk a little bit about how God used him in a particular way to really, how he allowed souls to communicate with him in a very spectacular way.
Sure. Padre, first of all, thanks for having me. But Padre Pio was a Capuchin Franciscan friar, a very modern saint. He was born in 1887, did not die until 1968. And what's pretty great about that is that because he's so modern, we still have a lot of people alive who met him, whom he ministered to. We have all kinds of tons and tons of pictures. He's probably the most photographed saint in history.
Wow.
Film, audio clips, all kinds of things. So he's someone that I think a lot of people in this day and age can relate to, somebody who's maybe, not as is newer to the faith or something and is interested in saints can really, kind of latch on to because he's so contemporary. Padre Pio is known for having a lot of spiritual gifts, probably more spiritual gifts than any other saint that I can think of. He had the gift of the stigmata, the marks, the wounds of Christ in his hands, feet, side, shoulder. Sometimes people would see it on his head in the crown of thorns when he was praying Mass. He had the gift of bilocation, meaning that he could be in more than one place at one time, and not just a few times. He did it, throughout his whole priesthood, and still continues to do so. People see him all the time, even though he's up in heaven.
Wow.
Padre Pio had the gift of languages. He could. He only knew one language. He was pretty poorly educated. Spoke Southern Italian dialect, but he could understand people when they spoke in their native languages, and even had the gift that they could understand him when he spoke back in Italian, even though they didn't speak Italian.
Wow.
Yeah, he had the gift of reading hearts and minds. If you went to confession with Padre Pio and you left something out, whether you did so on purpose or you forgot, he could remind you what that was. Gift of levitation when he was in a, especially when he was younger in novitiate, there were other seminarians that saw him. And it just kind of goes on and on with him.
Well, I love it. So yeah. He had special encounters with souls, though, too, didn't he? Share some of those encounters.
Sure. So throughout his life, at first, it's good to know that for Padre Pio, purgatory wasn't just some kind of a theological concept. It was ever present. It was a constant reality to him. It was said that more souls of the dead from purgatory, this is a quote from him, more souls of the dead from purgatory than of the living climb this mountain to attend my masses and seek my prayers. And knowing that tens of thousands of people, if not more, came to visit Padre Pio during his life while he was alive, it's a pretty astounding number. But and there's many stories, but a few that stand out to me. And these are all accounts from his brother friars. And Padre Pio gave an account once of a man named Pietro de Mauro, who he said appeared to him shortly after Padre Pio had been assigned to the friary in San Giovanni. And that friary had been a home for the elderly years before. And when Pietro appeared to Padre Pio, he said that he had died in 1908, and he was now in purgatory and needed a mass for his liberation. He said that God had given him permission to come to Padre Pio to ask for his prayers. And Padre Pio told told Pietro that next morning he would celebrate this mass for his liberation from purgatory. And after Padre Pio shared this story with his brother friar, Padre Paulino went and checked the town records and confirmed that there was indeed a man named Pietro de Mauro who died in his bed in a fire in 1908.
Wow.
The quote that the hour started with here, that was related to Padre Pio getting up one night from dinner. He was in they called it a refectory where the friars ate in the fire. And he just got up one night and rushed to the door. And a couple of the, he kind of startled a few of his brother friars, and they got up and followed him. And, you know, they saw that he was having a lively conversation. He opened the door with people who were invisible to his brother friars. And they began remarking, you know, he must be crazy, and asked him, what are you doing? Who are you talking to? And he said to him, oh, don't worry. I was talking to some souls who were on their way from purgatory to heaven. They stopped here to thank me because I remembered them in my mass this morning.
Wow.
And we have similar stories from that same, the friars would be eating together, having a meal together, and hear a knock at the door. Padre Pio would go to get up. Padre Pio, don't go. We'll get it. Okay. You know, and they would go and check and come back and say no one was there. It happened a couple times. And finally, Padre Pio would insist on getting up, going to the door. And sure enough, it would be souls who were asking for him, for his intercession, or thanking him on their way to heaven for his intercession.
Wow. My guest today, Nick Giovanni, if you want to join us, we'll take a few of your calls. We're talking Padre Pio. We're talking purgatory. The number here, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Let's go to Winnetka, Illinois. Margaret's listening to us there. Hi, Margaret.
Hi. I have a question. I listened to Edward Urban. He tells stories of Padre Pio. I think he works at the Padre Pio Center. And he had said that Padre Pio was afraid of dying, and he didn't know why. And I was wondering if you had ever heard that, and why would he be afraid of dying?
Sure. I don't know Edward. He doesn't work at the center, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's not giving good information. For sure, I have. I would say that is correct. Padre Pio, as much as he could see the state of for example, if people would have a parent that died, and Padre Pio, they would ask Padre Pio, you know, can you see the state of my father? And oftentimes he could look and see that person was in purgatory, and yes, I will intercede for that person, et cetera. But Padre Pio experienced dark nights of the soul, similar to St. Teresa of Lisieux, the Little Flower, St. Mother Teresa. So yeah, there was several accounts of Padre Pio throughout his life and towards the end, saying that he was terrified for his own soul because he was experiencing that dark night. He wasn't able to, as much as he could for other people, he was not able to see the state of his own soul. So he lived in kind of like a holy fear of that, and would ask people to pray for him. He considered himself to be a great sinner.
See, that's wild. When you say that, I'm thinking, oh my Lord. Here's a guy who bled, right? Lost a pint of blood a day, prayed 36 rosaries a day. I mean, he had these incredible preternatural gifts, And he was worried about making heaven. But you know what? That kind of makes sense to me. I remember reading in the Diary of St. Faustina where the Lord revealed to her, I'll have to look up this quote, you know, the condition of her soul. I mean, she, you know, Faustina, you know, was in love with the Lord. She fasted, she sacrificed, she did all sorts of things. And he said to her that if she could see the condition of her soul, you know, she would be terrified or she'd die of fright. And I'm thinking, gosh, what's the condition of my soul, right? If these holy men and women of God are in that particular condition. But, you know, when you stand before divinity, purity, true love, you know, of course we all have those particular blemishes. But I guess the closer you get to God, the more, you know, you realize that you're not where you need to be with him. So that's the only way I could kind of get my head around that. I would think Pio, who, you know, glimpsed and had these encounters with his angel and souls, would have no fear of the next life, certainly fear of not dying. So, but anyway, if you want to join us, it's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're taking a look at the souls of purgatory today, especially through the eyes of Padre Pio. Padre Pio was a man, if you're just joining us, a God endowed with extraordinary spiritual gifts and charisms. He had the gift of healing and bilocation and prophecy and discernment of spirits. As Nick pointed out, he could speak in his own native tongue, yet people would understand him. He could understand foreign tongues. He was able to read hearts. You know, he had the profound gift of conversion. Souls who encountered him, their lives were sent on different trajectories. I had the grace to see his angel. He encounters the angelic beings. He had this odor of sanctity that emanated from his wounds. As I said, he carried the wounds of Christ, and he suffered in unbelievable ways. And, you know, Pio's one of the great saints of our modern day. Nick, what else did he have to say? I know his masses took like hours to say, and I'm assuming he would offer those masses for the souls as well. What was his mass like, and what else did, what other encounters maybe did he have with those who've gone before us?
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to talk about the mass of Padre Pio because it was probably the most important thing to him, and has met all those spiritual gifts that we mentioned and talked about. People who went and saw him, you know, they would come back and people would say, oh, you saw this, you know, this great saint, you know, this great living saint and all these spiritual gifts. And, you know, what was it like? And they would say, well, first of all, he was very down to earth. He was funny. He would, you know, they said he was just like a really good, happy person, very down to earth with them. But they said that what was most amazing to them was the mass. They would go to a mass that, you know, might take another priest 25 minutes to say a daily mass. And Padre Pio, as you said, would take two and a half hours to say that mass. And just to give you one example of why, I mean, he was living in two worlds at one time. He was living in our time and in eternity at the same time. And during the holy sacrifice of the mass, he would suffer even more as that living crucifix. But in terms of purgatory, during what they call the memento during Mass, the time during the Eucharistic prayers when the dead are remembered, it said that he would take about 15 minutes. He would just stop and about 15 minutes he was engrossed in prayer during that time praying for the dead.
Wow.
So it just gives you some idea of how that important that was.
Well, let's do this. We'll grab a couple quick calls. I have Nick for maybe 10 more minutes. So if you want to get in, 888-914-9149. We'll start in San Diego. David, good afternoon. Thanks for calling.
Hello?
Hi, David. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks. Great conversation. I was just wondering if you had any comments on the recent Padre Pio movie with Shia LaBeouf. I mean, I watched his interview with Robert Barron. I was really intrigued how that fueled his conversion to Catholicism, but I never did see the movie. Just open to your thoughts on that. Thank you.
Great question.
Sure. Now, I can only answer this question. I have not seen the movie. I can answer it to what I have heard about it and the snippets that I have seen. And first of all, I always say that we should really pray for Shia LaBeouf because, I mean, you know, he's a new convert. He's in, you know, we know that the world wants nothing more than to see him fall.
Right.
And so, you know, I think we pray for that young man. And I did see that interview. That was fantastic. And hopefully that's a great example to many people. But in terms of the movie, my understanding, and from what I have seen, is that it's very much about the rise of fascism in Italy in the 1900s. It's kind of coinciding with the time shortly after Padre Pio received his stigmata. But I've been told that Padre Pio not a cameo, but doesn't play a great role in it. One of the things that I can say with confidence that would not be true to the story and puts Padre Pio in a bad light, they have a scene where, there's a hardened sinner that comes into the confessional, and Padre Pio tosses him out and uses the worst curse word that we have wow. in our language. And Padre Pio would not have done that for sure. We know that he would toss sinners from the confessional, ask them to leave when they were trying to trick him or something like that. But certainly he wouldn't have cursed at anyone. We know that he would remove himself from the presence when he heard people cursing and using bad language ever since he was a little kid.
Wow.
Yeah. And also that word does not exist in Italian
yeah.
as well.
All right. Hey,
so I'm not sure that that's the best representation of the life of Padre Pio.
It's a shame. I didn't see the movie either, but I didn't realize that he played such a small role in it. But I would assume that Shia LaBeouf, when he began to do his research in the role, anybody who begins to learn about the life of Padre Pio and, you know, the gifts that he possessed and the experiences that he had and, you know, you can't help but be drawn into wanting to know more and to see the beauty of this happening in the Catholic faith. I could see how that can spark a conversion. But to your point, let's pray for his continued conversion. Hey, Todd in Lexington, Kentucky, thanks for joining us. You're on the air with Nick Jaboni.
Hi, Andrew. How you doing? My question is, now that Padre Pio is on the other side and he is in heaven interceding, are there any accounts of his intercession for people now as far as along the same lines that he did when he was walking among us?
Well, sure. Yeah, that's a great question. Yes, we have, at the National Center for Padre Pio, we're blessed to have a lot of relics and artifacts from the life of St. Pio. And I could tell you, my goodness, I've only been there 4.5 years, and I've witnessed several miracles myself, you know, with people that have come there. I was there about 2 weeks, and I walked into our spirituality center. There was a couple there. There was a man there who had asked if he could have a glove of Padre Pio that he had prayed with a few weeks before. And there were like 14 people gathered around him, and they're crying and laughing. And I said, "What's going on?" And said, you know, that he had been there just weeks earlier, and he was condemned to death from cancer, stage 4 cancer, full blown. You know, they sent him home to make himself comfortable, get his things in order. And they had come and prayed and had a great miracle answered. There was a little girl who came after I was there a couple years, came in, and the parents asked me if they could leave a memento. It was a brace that she had. She had had it from, you know, from very early on in her life. I saw her running all over the place. I couldn't believe it. And they said that they had come up and they had prayed and she was healed, and they wanted to give us the brace to display. I could go on. And that's just ones that we know about at the Padre Pio Center. That's just a couple of my own personal experience, but we've been blessed to witness a good number of healings through Padre Pio's intercession.
Did you say that people are still seeing Padre Pio? I mean, he died in, what, 68, right?
Yes. We know there's a story I can tell you firsthand. There was a young man named Paul Walsh who was in Delaware County, Pennsylvania, probably about an hour drive from our center. Mm-hmm. And it was 1984. He got in a terrible car accident and was, you know, they said he was in a complete vegetative state. They expected that he was not going to survive, and if he did, that he would remain in a vegetative state. Someone had called the center and asked for a glove to be brought down to him, which they placed on his head and prayed for him. Padre Pio came, as he tells the story, he thought it was his Uncle Charlie in a brown robe, but it turns out when he saw a picture, it was Padre Pio, and his roommate saw him coming through the night too. He blessed him and he said, "You're looking better." And there was a nurse at the nurse's station that saw, what she figured out was a Capuchin priest, you know, fit the description and everything, running down the hallway, walked out of the room and went down the hallway and disappeared. And Paul had a complete healing. I think he has, I think he might have an issue with one eye, but, you know, he was up and about, and, you know, no one could believe it. We have, wow. So that was a story of bilocation that I'm you know, that I'm personally familiar with, but we do hear them pretty frequently.
That's awesome. My guest today, Nick Jaboni from the Padre Pio Center. You can learn more about him, too, by going to PadrePio.org. If Padre Pio is new to you, check it out. He had an incredible relationship with the souls in purgatory, and they would come and visit him, seek his counsel, ask for prayer. Well, not seek his counsel, they'd ask for prayers. People would seek his counsel, but they'd come and seek his intercession, and many, many were freed. And today on this great feast of the souls, I thought I'd highlight one of the great saints who had special relationships with him. Many saints have visited purgatory. Many saints have had these encounters. I can't think of another saint like Padre Pio that had as many souls come to him, petitioning his prayers, and then returning later to give thanks. Yeah, let me just take one off-air caller, a person who came through. This is about his spiritual children. And they asked, who are the spiritual children of Padre Pio that awaited the gates of heaven? And are there any other priests like Padre Pio today?
I'm not aware of any other priests that, that if the question is about the stigmata, I'm not aware of anyone. And certainly no one that's been studied right. Or anything like that. And I'm sorry, what was the first question?
The spiritual children.
Oh, the Padre spiritual Pio. Children. Yes. So a spiritual child, when Padre Pio was alive, people would come to him, and sometimes they would ask, and sometimes he would just say, you know, you will be my spiritual child. And so they were people whom he kind of mentored and had a, if they lived nearby, they would come and see him on a pretty frequent basis. If they didn't, he would correspond with them. He would write with them. And today we can become spiritual children of Padre Pio. You can learn more about that by contacting us. But basically, some people have the idea that you write in and you formally join in an association. You don't need to do that to be a spiritual child of Padre Pio. Basically, following and living the precepts which he promoted and asking Padre Pio to be your spiritual father. Yes, he said that he would wait at the gates of heaven until the last of his spiritual children entered. If you want to learn more about that, I suggest you give us a call. You can reach us through our website, PadrePio.org, or you can email us at info@PadrePio.org. We can get you some more information about that.
Well, I love it. Nick, I know you got to run. I know you had a busy day, so I won't hold you much longer, but just some final thoughts on what we learned from Pio regarding those who've gone before us and anything you want to leave us with.
Sure. Well, I know one time Padre Pio's brother, Friar, brother named Modestino, asked him, Father, what have you to say about the fires of purgatory? And Padre Pio didn't mince words. And on several occasions, he would speak similarly. He said, if the Lord were to give permission to the soul to pass from that fire, meaning purgatorial fire, to the greatest fire on earth, it would be like passing from hot water to cool water.
Wow.
So I think that it's So I think it's a place that, you know, we obviously want to, you know, we're in a state of grace and we know we're going to heaven, and that's why we're called holy souls. But we're also called poor souls in that state because we're separated from God and because, you know, because of the nature of the suffering, that's the purification that's happening. But here's the good. So Padre Pio was once asked, Padre, how can I suffer purgatory here on earth so that I can go to heaven immediately? Yeah. And he replied, by accepting everything from God's hand, by offering everything up to him with love and thanksgiving, so as to enable us to pass from our deathbed to paradise. And we know that the church, you know, Judy's been talking about it, the church offers us many opportunities with special prayers and indulgences, things that we can do. As you talk about with Divine Mercy, the great grace of Divine Mercy Sunday, certainly something to take advantage of. But yeah, that our purgatory can be mitigated for sure. And I know Padre Pio, this was one of his great, you know, ministries and devotions was the holy souls. And I think if we haven't paid attention to it, now's the time to learn about it and pay attention to it.
But it's really quite amazing though, when you talk about fire, the Fatima seer saw the fires of hell. And again, there's others who've written about the different levels of purgatory and some of the great suffering in the lower levels of purgatory, this unquenchable fire Christ speaks about in Gehenna and hell. I mean, it really is a big part of the afterlife. I never really thought about that. But Pio says if you would leave the fires of purgatory and go through the most intense fire here on earth, it'd be like going from hot to cold. That's pretty amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick, thank you. Always good to have you with us. I hope people will check out your center. Do you have? Are you open to the public? How does that work if anyone wants to make a pilgrimage out there?
Oh, absolutely. We're open to the public, and we're free of charge. We're on 106 acres. We have two buildings, including one of them that's a reproduction chapel of Padre Pio's Friary Chapel there in San Giovanni Rotondo. And then another, we have a world-class museum that's filled with the biggest collection of artifacts and relics of Padre Pio outside of Italy. So we hope that people, and we're only, it's a little town called Bartow, so not a lot of people have heard of it, but we're only an hour from the city of Philadelphia by car, so an hour north. So, yeah, certainly. And we have directions and all kinds of things we can help you with through the website, again, which is padrepio.org.
That's awesome. Hey, keep up your great work. Thank you for always making time for us here. It's great to have you here.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Nick Jaboni, today on the Great Feast of the Souls, check out padrepio.org, padrepio.org. And, of course, you know, when I come back, I'm going to take a short break. I'll talk to you a little bit more about purgatory. I'll give you another encounter that St. Faustina had. Maybe I'll share another St. Padre Pio story with you. And some people are asking, how do you get that plenary indulgence by visiting the cemeteries? I'll fill you in on that. But you know, this whole concept of fire and the afterlife, it is quite compelling. Many of the mystics say they're not only pits in hell, but as so many expect, there's also fire. There's fire. And those descriptions of the netherworld can be very, very sobering, you know. And gosh, from Fatima Sears to St. John Vianney to St. Faustina to many others, it's pretty amazing. They often talk about this lake of fire, those who've had this brush with death and have come back. If I have time, maybe I'll share a little bit of that with you. But we got a lot to get into today, so stay with me. A short pause, and our conversation will continue.
Pray more, worry less. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Thanks for joining me today. Hey, you're just tuning in. We're talking a little bit about All Souls Day, the souls in purgatory, right? You know, I know if you're like me, maybe you forget to have masses offered. Maybe you don't remember to pray in particular for, you know, those who've gone before you. And this is a great day to remind everyone to do that. It's a day we remember in particular the faithfully departed. And you can help them. There's a couple ways you can do that. I'll give you just a quick note. We had spoken a little bit earlier today about an indulgence that the church offers. And I would strongly encourage you to go ahead and to do this. You can go and get this indulgence in a couple ways. You can go to the cemetery, and that's really what I'll tell you about right now. Yeah, so grab a pen and paper. I'll give you the criteria that is often required, and get you plugged in to what I think is a pretty simple and very generous thing to do for somebody that you love. Of course, don't forget to sign up for the Holy Souls Novena. Relevant Radio is doing that. Masses will be offered, chaplets will be offered, and rosaries will be offered for those of your loved ones that have gone before you. But in order to obtain a plenary indulgence, the church has said between November 1st and November 8th. Now, Father Rocky was in the studio with me just a few minutes ago. He said about 2 years ago, Pope Francis elongated this opportunity to the 30th. He says, I'm not quite sure if it's still in play, but it was November 1st through the 30th. What do? All right. You go to a cemetery, right, and pray for the soul of Allah. It could be yours. It could be anybody. You can go to any cemetery. And what they say is make a good confession within a week before or after All Souls Day, right? In theory, the way to get the plenary indulgence, you have to be free from all attachment to sin, even venial sin, for a plenary indulgence. That's the real hook, right? But, you know, God's merciful. Do your very best. Then visit a cemetery and pray for the dead. Say an Our Father, a Hail Mary, and pray for the monthly intentions set forth by the Holy Father, and receive the communion worthily, okay, either on the same day or soon after. You can obtain these indulgences every day for a loved one, every single solitary day. So that father of yours that passed away, maybe he wasn't so close to God, offer it for him. Maybe it's that child that died in that car accident we heard about, you know, who was, you know, kind of rejecting God. God's merciful. And we don't know what happens between this side of life and the next. You know, pray for that particular soul. This is an easy way of doing it. I would also recommend masses. Susan Tassone was talking about Gregorian masses, a set of 33 masses said for your departed loved one. I don't think there's anything more powerful than the mass. And to have 33 of them, wow. But, you know, what I would do, and I still occasionally do this, and I don't always like to be public about these things because I don't want to lose the merit for it, but I think maybe I'll inspire you to do something similar. Go to your local parish or go to a neighboring parish or go online and have a mass offered for a soul that has gone before you. It's quite often I'd have masses set for people I know, but it got to the point where I would just, it's almost a gift of alms, it's almsgiving. You know, it's my way of saying, Lord, thank you for all you've given me with. And I've taken some of God's providence, and I'd go and I'd have a mass offered for a soul. I don't know, for somebody most in need of God's mercy. Or, you know, maybe it was somebody who died in the military or whatever it might be. I would go to a church and say, could you have this mass on this day offered for the souls in purgatory? And I don't know who it affected, how it affected them, how many souls have been released by it. But God honors those masses and those prayers, and there's nothing more powerful, nothing more efficacious than that for the freedom of a soul in purgatory. So I would encourage you to do that. That's the most powerful thing that you can do. But the church also, as I said, has given us this beautiful way of visiting a cemetery, praying for the dead, and tapping into the great grace that is available to us and to those particular souls in purgatory. A couple things. I thought maybe I'd share with you a little bit more about these encounters with the souls. First of all, I'll give you some quick 101, if I could, on purgatory. I really believe it's a masterpiece of God's mercy. I think it's an extension of God's mercy, really. Thank God, it's if you die, you don't go to one or two places, right? Because so many of us are not in the right relationship. When Padre Pio asked people to pray for him because he saw the state of his soul, when St. Faustina was told by the Lord, if she could see her soul, she'd probably die of fright. That's pretty frightening to me. I try to be a virtuous, holy, prayerful, spirit-filled man. I do. I do my best. I'm not perfect, but I'm nowhere in the league of St. Faustina. You know what I mean? I'm thinking, holy cow, I'm in trouble. You know, thank God for purgatory, right? But all who die in God's grace, if you die in his friendship, you're assured salvation. But after death, you know, you may have to undergo purification. And I thank God for that. Praise God for it. You know, so to be free from all of those attachments you might have to things that are earthly, you know. The church gives the name purgatory to this final purgation. And in the catechism, and I think if you don't have two books you absolutely have to have, the Bible and the catechism. Those are two musts for you in your spiritual library. Catechism entry 1030 says this, that they say that the teaching is based on the practice of prayer for the dead mentioned in sacred scripture. They say, therefore, Judas Maccabeus made atonement for the dead from their sin. From the beginning, the Holy Mother Church has honored the memory of the dead by offering prayers and suffrage for them. Above all, the holy sacrifice of the Mass is the most efficacious means to helping souls in purgatory. Why, it says, the holy sacrifice of the Mass is the highest act of worship and the highest form of prayer. And prayer, my friends, is the key to heaven. That is the key to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind. Holy souls need your prayers. Once you die, once you cross over, you can do all you can as on this side of the veil. You can suffer, you can sacrifice, you can pray, you can frequent the sacraments. Once you're dead, you're not dead, but you can no longer pray for yourself. I mean, you will live forever. I pray to God you do not see the fires of hell. And I pray to God that we all make it to heaven. But if by God's grace we make it to purgatory, then you've made it. And the Mass is the greatest form of prayer to assist a soul attain heaven. St. John Chrysostom, you know, he said, Christ is the victim that gives solace to the dead. And what a marvelous opportunity to offer your Eucharist to assist the dead. If you haven't gone to Mass, you can go tonight. Offer your Eucharist for that particular soul. Have Masses offered for them. Remember to have Masses also offered for yourself. St. Faustina was told by Jesus, the Lord appeared to her one time and says, all these souls, all those souls in purgatory, he told her, they're loved by me. He says, but they're making retribution to my justice. See, God is a God of mercy, but he's also a God of justice, right? These souls are making retribution to my justice. It's in your power, he says, to bring them relief. He says, draw all the indulgences from the treasury of my church and offer them on behalf of these souls. He said to Faustina, he says, if you only knew If you only knew the torments that they suffer. These are purgatorial souls that the Lord's talking about, right? Once you're in hell for all eternity. These are purgatory. If you knew the torments they suffer, I had never heard before that Padre Pio, you know, saying, hey, if a soul is to leave the fires of purgatory and come to the most intense inferno of heat you could imagine. Imagine a volcano or some steel mill or some, think of the most intense heat you can come up with. It's like going from hot water to cool water. I mean, that's a pretty amazing statement. It really is. So pray for the dead. Have their names mentioned specifically if they're parents. Have novena masses. Have Gregorian masses offered. St. Therese, during the First World War, 1914, 1918, when that war was raging, you know, St. Therese, we pray for the dying, you know, and she had this, you know, even though she died in 1897, right? I think that's when Therese died. There were accounts that she was among the French soldiers in the battlefield. These guys in this horrible trench warfare claim that she was interceding from the other side of the veil. And she said her mission would continue, right? So did Faustina. So I think those who've gone before us pray for us, right? But she understood this. So if soldiers, French soldiers on the battlefields said she appeared to them and even saved them. They requested medals and holy cards from the nuns in Lejeuf in order to, when they went into battle. On the battlefield at night, soldiers would gather together. They'd read about her life to console themselves from really what was just a gruesome war. You know, the horrors there were too numerous to mention, but fascinating stories were shared with the nuns from her order. And this is, you know, this is not unusual. The founder of the Marians was a priest by the name of Father Stanislaus Baczynski. And I prayed to him often. He lived in Poland in the 17th century. And his order was the order that led the way for the canonization of St. Faustina. So you might hear me mention him. I often talk about Faustina and Sopotchka, her spiritual director, and Seraphim Mikalenko, who was her, you know, her vice postulator for the cause of her canonization. But St. Stanislaus Baczynski actually raised people from the dead. And he felt there was a special duty to help the souls. And that's part of the charism of the Marians, too. It's purgatory, it's Eucharistic, it's Marian. But the idea of helping souls was the result of both the needs of the time and St. Stanislaus' deep personal experiences amid war, amid natural disasters, among epidemics. You know, there was more despair. People were losing their lives. So it prompted him, and it's one of the charisms of the order, to offer their lives for the holy souls in purgatory, especially the victims of war and disease. And don't we live in that time today? We just had a pandemic that took lives. We see disease in many third world countries, right? There's war raging right now in Ukraine. Think of how many people are losing their lives. I implore you, as a brother and as a sister in Christ, today pray, offer a rosary, offer a chaplet, have a mass said, offer a small sacrifice, let somebody in traffic, right? Don't have dessert tonight. Don't have that beer or that glass of wine. Put out that cigarette. You know, whatever it might be, make these sacrifices and do it for those who've gone before us. I cannot stress the power of your sacrifice in your prayer. You know, Padre Pio, we were talking about him. He had a very special relationship with the Holy Souls. Pio once said that he encountered more souls from purgatory than he did those who were in the world. Now, that to me is stunning, right? But it just tells you how many people are in purgatory, how many souls are in purgatory that need your prayers, need my prayers, have forgotten. There are souls who have no one to pray for them. Their family members have gone, and they become a memory, right? He also had a special relationship with the military and veterans of World War I and World War II. In November of 1915, okay, he had four other friars from the community. They were actually drafted. I don't know if you know this. Pio was drafted into the Italian army during World War I, and he was assigned to the medical corps in Naples. And his lungs were bad. He had weak lungs at the time. And they were in these damp barracks, right? It made things worse. And because of that, in March of 1918, he was declared unfit for service, and he was discharged honorably. But that didn't help Pio from supporting the soldiers. Soldiers, they would testify, they would claim that he would appear on the battlefield, just like St. Therese did. A soldier shared that he was rescued from death by what he described as a beautiful monk. He was at an Italian military base, and others reported that they too had seen this mysterious friar on the battlefields. And he would raise his eyes towards heaven. He would pray. Padre Pio loved the visits that he would receive when American soldiers stopped by San Giovanni where he lived. And there's a book out if you want to read. It's called Praying with the Saints for the Holy Souls, and Saint Padre Pio is included in this. And he includes deceased soldiers during World War I who would line up for his intercession. Final story here. I'll take a break and I'll come back and we can talk more. But in one case, there was a monk that lived with him, right? And the monk saw something weird. He spotted the strange soldiers near the friary's fireplace. He's thinking, what the heck are these guys doing in our place? The soldiers in our friary. So wondering how he got in, he went over to Padre Pio and he says, "Yo, there are a bunch of soldiers sitting around our fire. What's going on? Who let them in?" And Padre Pio said, "They're not actually soldiers. They're departed spirits who have stopped by for help on their way to the hereafter." It's souls like this that would beseech him constantly. And he would offer his masses, as you heard my last guest talk about, these two-hour-long masses and his personal sufferings for their release. He had many, many, many encounters. So let me leave this on this thought. I'm going to take a short break and I'll be back. No prayer is ever wasted. I just want you to know that. Those prayers you offer for those souls, those prayers that you offer for your loved ones, no prayer is ever wasted. The deceased in heaven, they receive, if they made it to heaven and they're not in purgatory, say you're praying for your mom, your dad, somebody you love, say some priest that you knew, maybe he's no longer in purgatory. The deceased in heaven receive an increase in their intimacy and their love and an increase in their own intercessory power with God. We're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, Hebrews tells us. St. Thomas Aquinas famously called this accidental glory, right? So never stop praying for the dead, those in purgatory, maybe even those who've made it. Why? Because God will never be outdone in generosity.
Your virtual parish, The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
You know, we receive over 1 million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters Studio Line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for hanging out with me today. It's so good to be back. I had been away. I was traveling. I was in Ireland for a personal pilgrimage and took one with Relevant to Israel. And look, they're spirit-filled. They're incredible opportunities to pray and to meet people and to recharge your spiritual batteries. But I came back and I was a little bit under the weather. I picked something up. And I'm grateful for your prayers. It's just good to be back behind the microphone to be able to share with you and hang out with you and give you a look at life you're not going to find anywhere else. Be back again tomorrow. I got a lot to share with you right now, so don't go anywhere. But I just want to give you a quick programming note. We got a lot to get into. If you're dealing with divorce or remarriage or annulment, we're going to take a look at it. Tom Brady and his wife, Patrick, help me. I'm zoning out on her name right now.
Giselle Bundchen.
Giselle Bundchen, that's right. They were married in a Catholic church. I'm going to talk tomorrow a little bit about that breakup, that divorce, and we'll take a look at that as well. We're going to take a look at Volodymyr Zelensky on that war and technology and so much more. We're going to pray the chaplet. We got a lot to get into. So thanks for tuning in. If you're new to the show, set your radio. If you enjoy what you hear, tell others about the broadcast, download the podcast where podcasts can be downloaded on, Apple, or you go to the Relevant Radio platform. You can download my podcast and listen to something that you might have missed. All right. I do want to share with you a quick story that I came across. And I love this story because it came from a writer that I follow, a guy named Phil Kaczynski. And I just saw, not Kaczynski. I was thinking of the Kaczynski is a Unabomber. Kozlowski. Phil Kozlowski. Phil, forgive me if you're listening, brother. Don't mean to butcher your name. I'm pulling it out from memory. But I came across a piece that he put together not too long ago about a grieving girl who actually witnessed her father travel from purgatory to heaven. And I was struck by it during this month of the souls. And he, you know, I was sharing a little bit about Therese, a little bit about Pio, a little bit about Faustina, right? He wrote the story about a young girl during the 17th century. She was a grieving young girl. She approached, you know, this Benedictine abbot at a monastery there in Montserrat, Our Lady of Montserrat, and begged the abbot to say three masses for her deceased father. And the young girl was totally convinced that the masses would speed her father on his way to heaven and released him from the pains of purgatory. So moved by this girl's, you know, childlike faith, the abbot said the first mass the next day. And during the mass, the girl was kneeling and she looked up and she said she saw her father near the altar where the priest was saying mass. And she described her father as kneeling surrounded by frightening flames and located on the bottom step of the altar. So the priest was alerted to this miraculous phenomenon. He instructed the girls to place a piece of tissue where the father was kneeling, and the tissue immediately started fire. Everybody saw the thing go up in flames. The priest could not see the child's father, but it represented to the priest the father being purified by the flames of purgatory. So he had a second mass offered, and it was said for the repose of her father's soul. And again, the little girl saw her father. This time, he was up a step, standing next to the deacon, and he was dressed this time vibrantly, she said, in a vibrantly colored suit, is how the girl described it. And at that stage, her father was still in purgatory. He was no longer in flames. And this reminds me of the story of Faustina, too, that I shared a little bit earlier, where she prayed for a nun who had died about 2 months earlier. And as she prayed, the nun came enveloped in flames, in agony and despair. She prayed more. The nun came back equally as tormented, maybe a little bit worse. But on the third encounter, the nun was freed from whatever the purgation she was. She needed those prayers. The girl had the third mass offered, and she saw her father this time for the last time. During the Eucharistic celebration, he was dressed, she said, in a white suit. But then something extraordinary happened at the conclusion of the mass. The little girl exclaimed, "There's my father. He's going away. He's rising in the sky." She no longer had to worry about her father. And she felt confident he reached the gates of heaven. And that is the power of the Mass that I tell you about. I really want to emphasize the need for Masses for those who have gone before us. I cannot stress enough how powerful the Mass is for souls in purgatory. You know, St. Faustina, she had the opportunity, as I shared, to pray for a purgatorial soul that had gone before her. But Faustina also saw purgatory. Her angel took her there one time. And Faustina, in this particular encounter, she writes in her diary, it's very early in the diary, I think it's diary entry 20, she says, "I saw my guardian angel who was ordered, I was ordered to follow him. And in a moment, I was in what she described purgatory as a misty place, again, full of fire," right? This theme of fire in the afterlife. Kind of frightening. It gives me a little bit of pause, right? "In a moment, I saw a misty place full of fire in which there was a great crowd of suffering souls. They were praying fervently, but to no avail for themselves," because souls cannot pray for themselves, right? They can only, we can only pray for them. We can only come to their aid. She says, "The flames which were burning them, they didn't touch me. But my guardian angel did not leave me for an instant. I asked these souls, I said, 'What is your greatest suffering?' And they answered me in one voice. They said their greatest suffering, their greatest torment." And I always found this very fascinating, right? What is the greatest torment of a soul in purgatory? They said their greatest torment was longing for God. They longed to be with God. There was an ardent desire to be with that person who is love. You know, there's that. That's the greatest pain. It's like being separated from somebody that you love so much. You know, I saw Our Lady visiting the souls in purgatory, Faustina wrote, and she says, "The souls, they called her the Star of the Sea." I thought that's such a beautiful title for her, right? And she would bring them refreshment. And I wanted to talk with them some more, but my guardian angel beckoned me to leave. She says, "We went out of that prison of suffering, and I heard an interior voice say to me," and it was the Lord. The Lord said, "My mercy does not want this, but my justice demands it." And Faustina said, since that time, she was in closer communion with the souls who were suffering in purgatory. You know, if you don't believe in purgatory, there is a museum in Rome that I've been to. And the museum's a pretty powerful place. there was a priest or a cardinal who was working on this teaching on purgatory. One night, the story is that a purgatorial soul appeared to him, leaned on the desk, and when the soul disappeared, there was a burned handprint in that desk. I saw that handprint. I saw that there. There's other burnt items, breviaries, other things that purgatorial souls supposedly have come back seeking the prayers of others. It's not a well-known place. Only a couple thousand people visit it a year. It's known as the Museum of the Souls in Purgatory. It's in this Gothic church outside of Rome. When you walk into it, it's like you walked into another dimension, like you walked into that misty place of purgatorial sighs and cries. And in the back room is this museum. If you ever get a chance, check it out. But one final thought here. As your loved ones pass away, right, we make this mistake at Catholic funerals to canonize our loved ones. My mother was a saint. My husband was one. You know, please do not canonize me. Right? I am not a saint. And don't do it to your loved ones. You do them a disservice. I know it feels good, and I know it's comforting for people to hear, but you've got to realize the state of our souls. Purgatory is an extension of God's mercy. Rather than canonize that soul, have masses said for them. Invoke those who you are giving that eulogy to, those who you are mourning with, to pray in a special way for those who've gone by. Today's the Feast of All Souls. You can get the Mass, pray for them, offer your prayers for them. They'll be glad you did, and they'll be your greatest friends in the afterlife.